Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Ross says goodbye, Adnan, and hello, Jimmy. We had a double dose of the war on the warrior and wrestling's newest hottest feud, Khan versus Khan. And I'm not talking Star Trek. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, Canada's premier wrestling radio program, coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got another jam-packed show for you tonight. First up, we'll check in with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to get the story on why WWE cut ties with Adnan Virk and why they think Jimmy Smith, another untrained sports announcer, is going to be any better. Then, fresh off the heels of both the AEW and Dark Side of the Ring episodes detailing the career of the Ultimate Warrior, two little warriors will compete in tonight's Turnbuckle Trivia matchup to test their knowledge of the One Warrior Nation and beyond. And later in the show, we'll announce the latest addition to our weekly patron podcast schedule and catch up with the host of our new SmackDown review show. Who's it going to be? Stay tuned to find out. Now, if you're looking for our review of tonight's Double or Nothing AEW pay-per-view, well, we do indeed have that coverage as well. Myself and Dan the Mouth of Ransky will be live on our online streaming AEW After Party show immediately following tonight's pay-per-view. To access the show live, sign up right now at patreon.com/snmeradio. A link will be sent to your inbox, and then you'll be able to join us live and ask questions of myself and the Mouth. Plus, you'll get access to all of our daily podcasts for only $1 a week. That's patreon.com/snmeradio. As for me, right now, though, let's dive into the week of wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
The lead story for this week is that WWE president Nick Khan has been in talks with New Japan Pro Wrestling about WWE becoming New Japan Pro Wrestling's exclusive American partner. Dave Meltzer reported in this week's Wrestling Observer Newsletter that talks regarding the potential partnership date back to March or early April, but there's no indication where the discussions are currently at. If talks go anywhere, the deal would include WWE sending talent, including top stars, to work in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So once this story got out, it prompted AEW head honcho Tony Khan to cut a promo? I mean, how else do you respond to something in wrestling, I guess? Tony Khan stood beside Tony Schiavone and cut this promo, posting it on Twitter Friday night before Dynamite.
I read in the Observer today that New Japan Pro Wrestling apparently has had talks with WWE's president Nick Khan. Well, Nick, I have to say, if you've been talking to New Japan Pro Wrestling for 2 months, you've gotten a lot done. Just in the last 2 weeks, I've had Yuji Nagata, Ren Narita, and Rocky Romero on AEW. I've reunited Roppongi Vice. I've had the New Japan IWGP U.S. Champion Jon Moxley defend the title successfully on our show, retaining it. And I have future plans with New Japan Pro Wrestling for the U.S. title. So you must have really gotten a lot done in the 2 months, Nick. In fact, I think there's only room for one Khan in the wrestling business, Nick. And it's me. It's Tony Khan. It's not some con man from Connecticut. Have a fun show tonight, Nick. See you on Dynamite.
Talk about poking the bear? Also, could we have not done a second take, you know, Tony, without the stumbles? Just saying. As mentioned in the intro, the news broke on Tuesday that the WWE and brand spanking new Raw lead announcer Adnan Virk had mutually parted ways. WWE issued a brief statement thanking Adnan for his work, and Virk claimed the weekly travel and his other jobs were making it a grind for himself and his family. So, I guess Adnan was unaware Raw happened every Monday night? Or maybe he was unaware that he had other jobs? No, wait. He knew those things. So what could it have been? Oh, perhaps he was unaware that a 75-year-old man would be screaming in his ear for 3 hours every Monday night. Yeah, that's it. The following day, WWE announced their replacement for Vince to yell at, and that will be MMA analyst Jimmy Smith, and he will debut tomorrow. Smith is 43 years old and is best known for his 2010 to 2017 run with Bellator. He's been working with Michael Cole and the WWE staff as of late to train for a possible announcing role. And according to sources within the company, Cole has praised him heavily and found him to be very versatile. It is notable, though, that Smith will be slated to be the lead play-by-play announcer, while in all the aforementioned MMA roles with Bellator and a little bit with UFC, he was in an analyst role, and that is extremely different. Now, continuing on with the announcer musical chairs, someone who is out of all WWE announcer chairs is Tom Phillips. The company released him on Thursday. This came in conjunction with a week where WWE made a number of major cuts in various departments on Tuesday in a consolidation effort. Those within the company categorized the reason as a re-examining of the business due to COVID-19 and discovering a lot of redundancy in duties. The result is that some divisions will be merging under Executive Vice President of Television Production, Kevin Dunn. Because that's what we need. More power for Kevin Dunn. But we're not done with the announcers yet, friends, as AEW dusted one of theirs as well, and perhaps rightfully so in this case. You see, AEW Spanish language announcer Willie Urbina has been fired following his mocking of Hikaru Shida's accent during Friday's Live Dynamite. This was caught on a live mic. Now, the audio could be heard during a commercial break on Fight TV's broadcast for international viewers prior to the segment celebrating the AEW Women's Champion's one-year reign as title holder. Urbina, Alex Abrahantes, Thunder Rosa, and Dasha's mics were left on during the break when Abrahantes instructed Urbina to do Shida, as in translator promo. Urbina then twice did a stereotypical imitation of an Asian accent, followed by Rosa and Dasha jokingly telling Urbina to stop. Shida has not commented on the situation. WWE announced a bunch of dates for when they go back on tour, but the only really significant date coming out of that schedule was the fact that SummerSlam is going to take place on August 21st. That's significant because it's a Saturday. I don't remember the last time WWE did an event on a Saturday, but they are doing this major show on Saturday, August 21st. I tell you, I don't like that one bit. Oh, and by the way, Andrew Zarian of the Mat Men podcast also tweeted that he was told rapper Cardi B will be the host of this year's SummerSlam. Cardi B's song Up was featured in a SummerSlam commercial that aired during SmackDown on Friday night. John Cena went into full-out apology mode this week as he apologized in Mandarin on Weibo, China's most popular social media platform, referring to Taiwan as a country in an interview promoting F9. Although Taiwan is self-governing, China has used its economic influence to monitor speech regarding Taiwan, which remains a sensitive political topic. Cody Rhodes did an AEW media call this past week and spoke for an hour covering topics including AEW and how they are not planning to change the name of the TNT Championship despite Dynamite and Rampage moving to TBS in 2022. He also denied any infighting amongst the EVPs. Looks like Shaq is going to be returning to AEW sooner than later. During Thursday night's edition of Inside the NBA on TNT, O'Neal was asked when he'll be wrestling again, and he said, soon, this summer. Eddie Edwards wrote on Twitter that he is recovering from home following surgery to remove his appendix. He said, finally back home after an extended stay in Nashville. Yeah, I'm an appendix short, but I'm good. Thank you to all who reached out. It always amazes me how supportive the industry can be. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Impact Wrestling locker room is a family. Thank you. So that's good to see that Eddie is on the mend. Hope to have him back in the ring shortly. The main event for NWA's next pay-per-view is now official, as world champion Nick Aldis will defend against Trevor Murdoch at When Our Shadows Fall. Now, this event is taking place on Sunday, June 6th. Oh my goodness, that's a week from yesterday. It's going to be available on Fight TV. We will have a podcast review up the following day for patrons. It'll be hosted by NXT Talk hosts Boris and Matt, so be sure to get that at patreon.com/SNMEradio as we continue our daily coverage. And for those of you wondering why Alexis Pyro was on Raw this past week, but she was not, well, her longtime pet pig Larry Steve passed away, causing her to miss the date. Now, you know, if it was 1997, she would be forced to eat bacon on TV this week, but it's not, so I'm assuming she won't, though the jury is still out on whether we'll see her in a vignette with Huskus. Just saying, Vince McMahon has a perverse sense of humor. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll dive more into this Tony Khan versus Nick Khan feud that is brewing that Nick Khan probably doesn't care about. We will do that with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter next. Turnbuckle trivia to come as well. And don't forget the announcement of a brand spanking new podcast for the Sunday Night's Main Event Radio family. We'll do that and welcome the new host right at the end of tonight's show. So continue with us. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Hand me down a walking cane, hand me down my hat.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Time to go even further in depth into the news with the editor of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave Meltzer is on the line. And Dave, what everybody is talking about is New Japan and WWE being said in the same breath due to one of your reports. Mm-hmm. What's happening here?
Well, I mean, there have been talks since March. I just mentioned it this week because it was about to get out. But, they've been talking. It's, there's a lot of, they're talking about anything and everything that can go between them. You know, business things that can work for each side. WWE wants an exclusive, where they would supply talent to New Japan and thus other companies would not. Other American companies, and in return, they would get exclusives on New Japan, which means other companies would not. But that's not necessarily how it's going to end up. And there's a real good chance that nothing will happen. I mean, it's, people don't realize. I mean, it's not like these talks don't happen from time to time, and often nothing gets done because there's a difference in philosophy between New Japan and WWE. But I think the reason it's more of a story now is because it's Nick Khan, and Nick Khan has been incredibly good at making WWE deals. I mean, he's brokered $3 billion deals for WWE just in the last couple of years, and this obviously is not a billion-dollar deal, but this is a huge deal if he can make it as far as the landscape of pro wrestling, because obviously New Japan has had dealings a lot of late with AEW and some with Impact as well. And, that's part of the whole deal. And that's probably part of the reason this is happening is, there's a lot of different reasons it's happening. And Daniel Bryan is obviously part of this. New Japan's economic situation is part of this. So there's so many different things. But, I mean, it easily could end up where nothing happens. I mean, WWE tried to buy Stardom, nothing happened. WWE tried to buy NOAH, nothing happened. WWE tried to buy AAA, nothing happened. So, I mean, you know, these are, you know, but it's also none of those things I mentioned were ever negotiated with Nick Khan. It's a completely different level of person heading WWE than they've ever had before.
Okay, so you mentioned Daniel Bryan. I've heard that name tossed around in regards to this story. All you're stating there is that obviously Daniel Bryan has goals outside the company, things he'd like to do, and that's why if WWE had this partnership, perhaps he would be more inclined to re-sign. Is that the rationale?
I think so. You know, I think that makes sense. Yeah.
Now, coming out of this, you know, we've talked Nick Khan, that's the WWE Khan, but Tony Khan, I played the clip earlier on in the show tonight about Tony saying he reads The Observer, and
Look, Tony's read The Observer since he's 14 years old.
Yeah.
That's not a secret.
No. But
so is Nick, so is Vince,
yeah.
You know? I mean, none of that's a secret.
But Nick and Vince did not cut a promo on Tony. Tony goes out of his way to cut a promo on Nick Khan. Dave, this played out really strange to me. Kind of doing it in character. And along with that, as someone who's hosted TV and hosts radio, like, do a second take, Tony, so you don't stumble.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if it was just a way to alert people that there was a 10 p.m. show on Friday night. But who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, it's like maybe he wants, to have a competition with Nick Khan, with the same last name, because they're, you know, one's the president of one company and one's the president of the other. I mean, they're not related at all, but they're both relatively new to the position. I mean, it's the, you know, second most powerful guy in WWE and the, you know, and Vince is older. So, I mean, it's Nick's company, you know, it's Vince's company as far as ownership, but Nick is the one who's, driving the business end of the company, and Tony's the one driving the business end of the company, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's interesting to try to create competition, because Nick's no slouch in the business world. Tony's been very successful so far in the wrestling world. So I think it's a way to do a thing with AEW versus WWE. And there's some people who like that and some people who don't. Eric Bischoff was at TV this week. It's something Eric Bischoff did. Sometimes with Eric Bischoff, it was effective for a couple of years. Sometimes it was very ineffective and poorly thought out. So I think time will very much tell on this one.
Yeah. This will be very, very interesting. All right, well, let's flip over to the WWE world of television, and let's cover these musical chairs that are currently happening. Adnan Virk out, Jimmy Smith in. Two different stories here. First of all, Adnan just seemed like a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. Was there just a realization on both sides that, you know what, this isn't working?
Oh, I mean, every week people have been complaining about him, and it's funny. I watch the shows, and I don't think any of the announcing is particularly good. So it's kind of like, it's WWE announcing, but he didn't offer much, and it's hard. You know, you bring a sportscaster in, and he's not familiar. Wrestling's a very, especially now. You know, one of the things with wrestling now is that its audience is smaller, but it's much, much smarter and much more into the product. So because of that, the pressures on announcing are a million times higher than they've ever been. So you bring someone from the outside who is not a fan and is not as into it as the people watching, they get really mad at the announcers. And this isn't just Adnan Virk. I mean, this is across the board. And so in that sense, bringing in an announcer who's not familiar with the product, they're going to get hammered. And learning how to announce wrestling is going to take more than 7 weeks, but they only gave him 7 weeks. So now it's a Nick Khan hiring. But I think it was a combination of two things. I mean, just, the negativity towards Adnan and I guess the feeling that Jimmy Smith would do a better job in the same position.
That's a strange choice to me because, you know, Jimmy Smith, I mentioned in the news pack earlier, he's a guy that has done MMA, but he's an analyst in MMA, and he's not a huge wrestling fan either. So once again, you're fighting an uphill battle here by putting someone like this into the seat.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, like if you have Jim Ross or Tony Schiavone or Michael Cole or whatever, off the top of their head, because they've been doing this for decades, they can bring up, you know, I mean, WWE rarely does it, but you can do it because you're going to have a memory of it. You know, bring up history, bring up different things, and Jimmy Smith's not going to have that knowledge. I mean, he doesn't know what's happened in the last, you know, at all in pro wrestling. I mean, yeah, he said he was a fan growing up of, was it Bruiser Brody, you know, which everyone was, I guess, from, you know, but he's an MMA guy.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, I was a big fan of Jimmy Smith. He did very well in our awards, you know, as far as announcer of the year in when he was with Bellator. But, you know, he was an analyst in MMA, and he's not a pro wrestling fan, and he's fighting an uphill battle. And boy, the eye is going to be on him.
Yep.
Monday night on Raw. You know, it's going to be, everyone's going to be looking at what he does. And for, you know, 1 week in when you're not a fan, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. He's going to have a microscope on him like nobody's business.
So along with this, continuing with WWE moving people around, they've said goodbye to Tom Phillips. Now, I was a fan of Tom Phillips. For whatever a WWE announcer could be, to me, he just seemed like, well, there's another Michael Cole-style guy. I didn't notice him when he was there, and I think that's kind of what you want in a WWE announcer. There are rumors and rumbles beyond that with Tom Phillips, though. Is this a political thing, a behavioral move here?
I haven't heard any behavioral stuff on Tom Phillips of late, obviously, a couple years ago.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, but if it was that, you would think they would have made the move a couple of years ago, but who knows? I don't... They took him off TV. I mean, he was still doing stuff, and the firing was a surprise to I think almost everyone. You know, when they took him off Raw for Adnan, I mean, it was very much stated like he is staying with the company. And that's 7 weeks ago. So maybe it was one of those things where it's like, well, we're not going to go back to him. We've made the decision. Maybe before he was like the backup. Well, if Adnan doesn't work, we still got Tom Phillips in the bullpen, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Well, Adnan didn't work out, but we think Jimmy Smith is better. So we don't need Tom Phillips in the bullpen. Now, what happens if Jimmy Smith doesn't work out? I don't know. But I will say they are very confident in Jimmy Smith. And we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
It's not going to be long because, yeah, we're going to find out.
Oh, boy. It's just baptism by fire over and over again with these announcers.
On like a three-hour show.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't want to debut on a three-hour show in front of you know almost 2 million people.
No, just a weird way to crown your new play-by-play guy in your main show, as opposed to building him up on like 205 Live to start or something.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's talk SummerSlam. I have to say, I was blown away, not by the venue, which is not fully confirmed, but more so Saturday. I don't remember the last time WWE did a Saturday pay-per-view.
Decades. So the Saturday came because the stadium in Las Vegas asked for Saturday, but that was before the Pacquiao Errol Spence fight.
Yeah.
So now Saturday is a disaster. I mean, maybe disaster is putting it too strong. It's a bad day. Inherently, going head to head with the Pacquiao fight makes it a bad day. Plus, as we've seen, you know, whether it was AEW on Friday this week or whenever something moves. You know, now granted, AEW had great success moving from Saturday to Sunday, but Sunday has been the traditional pay-per-view day of pro wrestling dating back decades. AEW tried Saturday. They did reasonably well, but they did better on Sunday. WWE Sunday has been the thing, largely to stay away from the big boxing matches on Saturday.
Right.
I mean, that was the main reason that they moved from Saturday, was you didn't want to be going head-to-head with these things when you would be the number two event of the weekend or the number two event of the night, which is bad. And here they are, that SummerSlam, and it's a big SummerSlam planned, and it is going to be, no matter what, the number two event of the night. So I guess when they made the switch, I don't know that they couldn't go back, but that's what I was told. It was like they made the switch for the venue, then the Pacquiao fight comes, and now the venue's not a sure thing anymore either. I mean, they're not going to announce the venue till June 5th, and there's a couple of places in the running. I've heard Vegas is probably not, but they're still in the running. So, you know, there's L.A., which I've people have told me probably isn't happening. There's Nashville. There's Miami. There's New York. There's they want to go to a tourist destination,
right.
And a football stadium. I mean, it's 100% a football stadium. So they want a place, and you know, WWE right now selling 60,000 tickets. It is, you know, it's very ambitious right now. They only sold 20,000 for the two nights of WrestleMania.
Yeah, and just, you know, you mentioned that the 20 years plus, I mean, I've been doing Sunday night shows for the reason of WWE pay-per-views being on Sunday nights for 20 years. I called my show Sunday Night's Main Event because wrestling fans are creatures of habit, and switching to Saturday, just, I imagine so many people trying to order this show on Sunday, even to the point where I wouldn't even be surprised if people buy tickets and show up on the Sunday.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Okay, so there's a precedent for this one, because I was thinking of is when Brock Lesnar fought Alistair Overeem in UFC, UFC is always Saturday night pay-per-view, sometimes Saturday afternoon, and Saturday afternoon always draws poorly.
Okay.
But it's Saturday night, 90%, 95% of the time, Saturday night pay-per-view. Because of New Year's Eve and not wanting to run New Year's Eve one year, they had Brock Lesnar and Alistair Overeem, and they moved it to Friday because Saturday night was New Year's Eve that year.
Right.
And we were all projecting about 800,000 buys, which would be a low Lesnar number, and they did 530,000 buys. And that was the difference. And I remember that weekend, you know, on Saturday, everyone's going, oh, my God, I was going to watch the Lesnar pay-per-view. I thought it was tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the night before. And this is, this is the same thing. Granted, they have a lot of TV weeks to hammer this home, but I think you're right. I think come Sunday morning, a bunch of people are going to go, oh, I was going to watch the show. I forgot. It was last night.
Yeah.
That's why moving the date, I was really surprised at the moving of the date, because you really want, especially now when people are so creatures of habit, you really want consistency. And they went away with it. And they went away with it for, you know, their number three show of the year.
All right, Dave, well, we look forward to seeing that, or maybe some people have already seen it at this point. But thank you for taking time out this week. Observer-wise, what you got? Obviously, coverage of Double or Nothing.
Coverage of Double or Nothing. Coverage of, more stuff. I'm sure more stuff will break on the WWE New Japan stuff.
Yeah.
Just the whole week. I mean, look, Jimmy Smith is going to be a story this week. Tony Marino, some people remember him from the 70s and the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away this week, and I've already written that story, so I know that's in. And whatever else happens, you know, it's an unpredictable world, but the one thing I can say is that there has not been a week that I have been able to fit all the news in that I want, because there's this, I would say the last, ever since COVID started, which is a funny thing, because with the COVID, I thought, oh my God, it's going to be so hard to have news. There's going to be fewer shows and all that. And there ended up that there's way more news since COVID started. And, and COVID's part of it. You know, COVID with New Japan, COVID with Mexico. You know, I mean, there's a lot of big stars have tested positive for COVID in the last week. Park, L.A. Park, Okada. You know what I mean? I mean, these are big name stars.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, it continues keeping you busy as you always are. And we will talk to you next week at this same time. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Find Dave's work and all of what he just talked about, all the coverage available at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, hey, let's dive into a little turnbuckle trivia and do it warrior style. That is next right here, Sunday night's main event.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Dan the Muffin Ransom.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f***s, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f***s, tough guy.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We have two patrons on the line to play the game. So let me introduce them and ask them a question to maybe predict how well they may do. Phil from Illinois, or as I like to call him, Philinois, is on the line. How you doing, Phil?
Amazing. I love that.
Philinois it is. You're a regular here. You're playing against Curtis from California. Curtis, I'm sorry, I don't have a clever nickname for you.
Nah, it's okay. I'm a pretty... laid-back guy and
all right.
don't need a lot of attention.
Well, Curtis, here, how about this? Curtis, have you watched either one of the Ultimate Warrior documentaries this week?
I have not.
Uh-oh. Phil, have you?
You said the Ultimate Warrior documentary?
Yeah, no. There's neither...
Uh-oh. We might be in trouble here, Jason.
Well, guys, this week, both had the A&E documentary and had the Dark Side of the Ring documentary, so I thought, why not do Ultimate Warrior trivia? Because surely you guys will have watched one, if not two. Well, let's play the game, boys. The Ultimate Warrior, and let's learn a thing or two. Phil, your player one. Curtis, your player two. I don't see this going well, but here we go, Phil. I'm going to start you gentle for both of you. The first one is going to be multiple choice, so at least you have a one-third chance of getting it. Phil, as featured in Dark Side of the Ring, what is the name of Jim Helwig's ex-wife? Is it A, Melanie, B, Sherry, or C, Karen?
Melanie stuck out for, like, no reason.
Melanie would have stuck out for the Brian Pillman documentary... because that's his ex-wife's name. But Sherry is the correct answer for this one. All right, we go to you now, Curtis. Both of Warrior's daughters were featured in the A&E documentary. Which of the following is not one of their names? A, Indiana, B, Madigan, or C, Jessica? Curtis?
I seem to remember Indiana being one of them, so it's going to be a coin flip.
Okay.
I'll go with Jessica.
That's the correct answer. You guessed your way through it, Curtis. Very good. So you've got a point. Back to you now, Phil. Here we go. Warrior, a.k.a. Jim Helwig, got into the business with Steve Borden, also known as Sting. Give me one of their tag team names, Phil.
The Blade Runners.
Very good. Yeah, the Blade Runners is the most popular. They were also the Freedom Fighters or Power Team USA. Now, Curtis, a follow-up to that. In those two teams, Sting was known as Sting or Flash, but give me one of the Warriors' names.
I don't have a guess, so I'm just going to say Warrior and hope that it was right.
He wasn't quite Warrior yet. He was either Blade Runner Rock or Freedom Fighter Justice. Okay, it's 1-1 now, and back to you, Phil. Helwig would then go on to become a singles wrestler as the Dingo Warrior. In what territory did he adopt this name, Phil? What organization?
It was the Memphis territory with Jerry Lawler.
Actually wasn't. It was WCCW. World Class is where he first adopted the name. Okay, Curtis, to you. Oof, if you had watched the docs, you would have got this. But
yeah.
Where was the Dingo Warrior billed from?
Oh, God. I'm just going to say somewhere in Australia. So, Sydney.
You know, Curtis, that would have made so much sense, and that was actually the joke that was brought up. He was from Queens, New York, which made no sense in him being the Dingo Warrior, which is why I put it in here, and they made a big point of it in one of the docs. All right, still 1-1, and Phil, we go back to you. Prior to WrestleMania 4, Warrior engaged in a feud that featured a tug of war in which the chain broke. Who was this with?
Hercules?
Yes, that's correct. That wasn't even in the documentary. That was just some Warrior trivia for you. Very good. Curtis, to you. Again, well, featured in the documentary, but a memory from our past. We know that Warrior defeated the Honky Tonk Man in 27 seconds for the Intercontinental title at SummerSlam, but he was a mystery replacement for whom?
Oh, I do not remember.
Uh-oh.
I guess we'll go Roddy Piper.
Incorrect. It was Brutus Beefcake that he was the replacement for. 2-2 right now. Final question, each fill to you. Warrior's final in-ring WrestleMania appearance was at WrestleMania 12. Who did he defeat?
Triple H.
That's correct. It's 3-2 now. Your final question, Curtis. It's 3-1. That means, I'm sorry, Curtis, you didn't come up with it. With that, he's put the final nail in the coffin. And if it's warrior-like, then you're scratching at the top of that coffin because you don't want to be in it. But, Curtis, thank you for playing the game. Congratulations, Phil. You've got yourself a T-shirt from ballergear.ca. I will send you over that link. Congratulations, Phil.
Thank you so much, Jason. It was a great time. Good playing with you. I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you too, my friend. And thank you both for being patrons. And that is why you get to play Turnbuckle Trivia. It is one of our perks for our patrons of the show. If you wish to play the game, then hop on in. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. I'm booking all of the summer up for players right now. So dive in and stop smashing your device if you're sitting here and have watched both of the Warrior documentaries. And like, I knew all of these. I knew all about World Championship Wrestling. I knew all about the Dingo Warrior from Queens, New York. You could have been on this week. But you can be on in future weeks. Sign up and play the game. We're going to take a break when we come back. Oh, this is right at you, patrons. It is a new podcast that you are going to be getting each and every week. It will be a SmackDown review. But who is going to be the host? There are familiar voices coming back. And we'll talk to one of them next right here on Sunday night's main event.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. If you're not getting enough wrestling just on Sunday nights, keep in mind, we do shows each and every day on our Patreon. Join us at patreon.com/SNMEradio and get coverage of everything that goes on in the world of wrestling, including reviews of Monday Night Raw, AEW Dynamite, and NXT. patreon.com/SNMEradio.
Are you fluent in sports? Check out the Sports Fluent Network for all your sports needs. And be more in the loop with great shows like this one, Sunday Night's Main Event. And The Coach, an AK experience with NFL coach Hugh Jackson. You can find these shows and so much more at sportsfluent.com.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Now, patrons, hearing that music, I'm sure you've already figured out what is a-happening, as Gorilla Monsoon would say. We are going to be introducing a new SmackDown podcast review, and it is going to feature the two gentlemen who this song is already known for, Brad the Dad and Greg. Also a dad, the East Coast Dads, they are going to be doing our SmackDown review. So welcoming to the show right now, yes, Brad McKinnon, but more so Brad the Dad, as everybody knows you. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks, Jason. This is literally a little bit of a dream come true. I've been listening to you since the show that shall not be named.
And you can name it. You can name the Law Live Audio Wrestling. It is fine, my friend. I'm good with it. That's our history. That's our roots.
So for almost 15 years, I've been listening to you and the Mouth on Sunday nights. It was how I got through many Monday mornings. And here I am now. I am part of the SNME family, and I cannot believe that this is happening. So I'm going to fanboy a little bit as I talk to the Jason Agnew here for our patrons and for those who will be listening to this over the radio.
Yeah, so we are doing this on the radio because, of course, encouraging all of you to jump aboard and get our weekly SmackDown review. It is added to the slate of our NXT and Dynamite and Raw reviews, where we try to avoid talking about Raw. But for SmackDown, you're actually going to be talking about it with your partner, Greg. And, you know, the nice thing about this is the reason why I went this direction for all of you patrons out there is because Brad is someone who has just dove into the world of broadcasting due to the pandemic. It's kind of really guided you in this direction, Brad, and I've heard your hosting, and you're great. So enough blowing smoke, and instead let's chat about some SmackDown here, because that is what you are going to be doing, so we might as well start there this week. And this week on SmackDown, Brad, we had the Usos get an upset win over the Street Profits. Maybe not an upset win, but next week they're going to face the Mysterios, and the whole thing here is the Usos being torn, trying to be unto themselves or, you know, within this Roman Reigns character and Roman Reigns family. Are you still on board with the Roman Reigns character? And is it still doing it for you?
I think Roman Reigns is the highlight of my week most weeks, at least in WWE land. I just love the mafia boss. Mm-hmm. And this idea that, I mean, he really didn't say very much this week. I think if you counted his dialogue, there may have been 50 to 60 words. But that one line that he points out to Jay, you know, I don't want you to go back to being, which one are you? Which is enough of reality,
yeah,
that it works. But Jason, I mean, he really basically called out this whole partnership, and he puts everything in the question. Will Jay and Jimmy stay together? Do you think that they're going to be able to get along next week? I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat. And if we get another tag team match like we did this week, I mean, that was probably the highlight for this whole week in wrestling, at least again in WWE land. That tag team match was a breath of fresh air. Maybe it's just because we don't normally have any tag teams in WWE, Jason.
Yeah, well, this week we got a double focus on tag teams because we got the Street Profits and the Usos. And then along with that, we got the Mysterios and, you know, the Dirty Dogs. The one thing I actually like about this, I think WWE is really working this family thing here, because it's actually going to be family versus family next week with the Mysterios taking on the Usos. And you also got Roman Reigns playing in as a bit of a, you know, a godfather figure here. So it's interesting combining this. I'm thinking that we're probably going to see Jimmy show some mercy here in something that goes on to one of the two Mysterios, and that is going to somehow, some way, ruin them winning the championship. What do you think?
I have a funny feeling that we're going to get a classic SmackDown finish, which is very inconclusive, that will hopefully drag this all the way out until Hell in the Cell. My only disappointment in getting this match so quickly is that you have the godfather, Roman Reigns, and his two, basically like his two little brothers. And on the other side, you have a father-son tag team. And our next WWE pay-per-view is Hell in the Cell, which just coincidentally happens to be on Father's Day. And I know that's a stereotype considering I'm Brad the Dad, but I cannot think of a better storyline to be one of the highlights for Father's Day / Hell in the Cell than this family drama or this family matters, shall we say?
Yeah, I suppose so. And we'll bring in Carl Winslow as the guest ref, or Urkel. Are you suggesting you think that, you know, the Usos end up in another tag match versus the Mysterios at Hell in a Cell to cap off the? I didn't even think about the Father's Day Hell in a Cell, but do you think that that's going to play into this?
I mean, you're the one that coined the phrase more is more, and I have a funny feeling that when it comes to the Mysterios, that something has to be done with them on Father's Day. This is the ever father-son tag team champions in the history of WWE, and it's a Father's Day pay-per-view.
Oh, no.
Which pretty much means something awful is going to happen to that family on Father's Day.
You're right.
I mean, Jason, my friend, let me put this out there to you. I mean, if they'll make people like Jim Ross do awful things in his hometown, if they'll do, you know, if you're a babyface and you go into your hometown, you are going to have something awful happen to you. Well, what is the ultimate hometown for a Father's Day, even though they're in the Thunderdome? It's Father's Day. The Mysterios on Father's Day. I am so afraid of what Vince is going to make those two do to each other or to somebody else.
You're so right. Dominic turns on Ray on Father's Day. Oh, Brad, I didn't even think about it. My goodness. it's so WWE. It's just so obvious and clear cut. How did I not see that coming? All right, well, let's move on from that horror that is approaching us. Another horror that we have to watch every week on SmackDown is Seth Rollins continually wearing suits out of my closet and taunting Cesaro. I still don't understand this because it feels so much like an angle that's been done because, oh yeah, it's an angle that's been done already. This Seth Rollins character has been awful since he became the Messiah, and retreading with Cesaro is doing no one any favors.
And then they decided that they were going to do what they usually do with a visual gag, with an audio gag this week on SmackDown. And it went over, pardon the pun, but like a dad joke. I mean, it was just terrible. And not only is his wardrobe terrible, but he somehow brings everybody down, which is kind of amazing. Because Seth Rollins in ring is, you know, on some people's list, probably one of the top five wrestlers in the world. Yet somehow, no matter who you ends up in a storyline with him, they end up in a lower level. And I don't know if there's a solution, Jason. Like, does Seth need to go to a different brand? Does Cesaro need to go to a different brand? How do we get these two people apart from each other?
All right. Brad the Dad and his partner Greg are going to be doing SmackDown reviews each and every week on our Patreon. Catch them at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And if you are already a patron, then hold tight, because we're going to end the terrestrial broadcast. And then the bonus today will be Brad and I chatting about NXT. So yeah, that is it. We are wrapped tonight. For those of you that would like to check out our AEW after party, do so. Patrons, the link is in your inbox. And next week, we'll be back here on all of our terrestrial broadcasters and the free podcasters as well at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. We'll talk to you next week. Don't you dare miss it. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, you can get an extended version of this show commercial-free each and every week by becoming a patron of the show at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Plus, we also dish out numerous other weekly podcasts, including Raw and AEW Dynamite reviews, all patron-exclusive, and all can be in your inbox for just $1 a week. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.